For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio. Yeah.
3-1, and the pitch, swing, fly ball, tailing away from Merrill in center. He'll dive and make the catch to end the game. A headlong dive in right center. Merrill, the player of the week, is certainly the player of the day for the Padres. He just won him the game.
Oh, screw that guy. That's the way it's going to happen. Woodford Reserve pitches his tuchus off. And the Pirates muster one measly run. If that diving catch isn't made, it's a double that ties the game. But of course, when things go wrong, they go way wrong. And the ball gets caught. And the game is over. And the Buccaneers have lost eight straight. And they are 11 games back in the NL Central, six games back in the wild card race. And they are six games under 500. If the Pirates want to finish the season with a winning record, or at 500, I guess it would be, they've got to go 26-18. We think they got any chance of having that happen? They got to go eight games over 500 the rest of the way to finish at 500. How quickly things have fallen.
Quick. I mean, and we asked this yesterday to Dan Zanagrilli. Does this team, are they out of it mentally? Like, are they just going through the motions? And at this point, I feel like that they are. Like, I feel like he didn't want to say that because he didn't want to say that athletes are not giving their full effort. And it's not about the effort thing. It's just the mentality. Like, now it's just you're focusing on other things. You're focusing on getting to the end of the season and trying to just gut through this. But how fast things have happened. And whenever you have a team that somewhat tries to go for it at the deadline and then this happens, I mean, that is even more demoralizing because it's like, did we add the right pieces?
Right.
Are we trying? Like, what were these pieces that we added? And I think Kalefa is a fine player.
Agreed.
But did we actually try or did we settle? Like, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I feel like that they settled. I feel like that they could have acted quicker. They could have got, Jess Chisholm, somebody of a higher pedigree.
Randy Arozarena had a nice diving catch the other day,
He definitely did. Did they settle or did they actually try to add? I'm thinking that they settled.
And I think what happened to me was I had convinced myself that they weren't going to do anything. And so when they did something, I got excited about it.
Yes.
And I talked Brian De La Cruz up more than Brian De La Cruz should have been talked up because I was just so happy that they actually bought at the deadline.
Yep.
Instead of selling, instead of standing pat, they did something. And so we talk ourselves into it. I heard Starkey saying it a bunch. This guy's got 32 doubles plus home runs. They're lacking one thing and it's power and he has that one thing so he's going to help. But when you really break down his numbers now upon reflection, he's Edward freaking Oliveras, this Brian De La Cruz. And they're not going to make the playoffs. And they're not going to finish above 500. And they've lost 10 of their last 11 games, not just 8-game losing streak. They've lost 10 of 11. And 7 of those games, they've lost by one run. So they've been competitive, but that's not the task. The task is make the playoffs. As decreed by the owner, 100%, yes, the goal is to make the playoffs. Ben Cherington said on Sunday that they think that this team still has a run in them and that the goal is to make the playoffs. Well, forget about it. So what are we doing? Well, we're telling you that the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by our friends at Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. But what we're also doing now is we're looking ahead to next year. And this kind of hit me as I saw the lineup pieced together last night. How many of these guys have spots legitimately locked down for next year? Like, I think we have a pretty good handle on what the starting rotation is going to be. Skeens, Jones, Keller. Bailey Falter, I think, can be a piece of this. Johan Oviedo, if he's healthy. I think you start thinking about Bubba Chandler as a potential solution.
Ortiz.
Luis Ortiz, maybe, but he'll be around it. You think he'll at least be a long reliever and an opener in your bullpen. Your rotation should not just be fine. Your rotation should be good. But the lineup. I think there are three pretty much sure things that are coming back next year. Three.
Yes. Yep.
O'Neill Cruz. He ain't going anywhere. And he's probably going to play shortstop. But there's a little question there. Brian Reynolds. You paid him. He's been outstanding.
Yep.
You can't criticize Brian Reynolds. He's hitting .284 with an .820 OPS. He's been very good. And then Andrew McCutchen. If he wants to come back, he will come back. And so I would consider him basically a sure thing because I think he does want to come back. There's your three.
Nick Gonzalez?
65 games this year. Now, you brought up prior to the show, he's a top 10 pick, he's young, and he was as clutch as any hitter that they've had this year. So you probably do pencil him into second base, yeah. But I'm not going to pretend like he's a sure thing. I agree that he is your guy coming into the year. He's your guy going into spring training. And even if he has a bad spring training, I think he probably, you're right, is your second baseman. Do I believe that Nick Gonzalez is definitely the answer? I can't go that far. He was bad last season. He only had 65 games this year. And really, his numbers are worse than I think how most Pirate fans feel about him. 680 OPS. An OPS plus a 90, that means he's 10% worse than your average second baseman.
Yep.
So while he was good for this team and good in big moments, overall, not so great. But yeah, I think he'll be penciled in. IKF got to be part of the starting nine every day, right?
Yep.
The question is where? Third base? I don't think you go into next season and you just have it written in Sharpie that Key Brian Hayes is your third baseman.
Right.
I don't know how you could.
I don't know how. I think that's an absolute, like, you have to figure that out. An ASAP.
He has been maybe their biggest failure this year.
No doubt about it.
Right?
No doubt about it.
And that's even understanding that Henry Davis was horrific.
And Sawinski.
Oy. You know what? That's a hell of a medal stand right there.
But for what the worth is...
$8 million a year, yeah.
I mean, the it's not even close.
He's got a .593 OPS. His OPS plus is 68. That is 32% worse than league average at the plate. He has been an abject failure. And if I see him fly out softly to the warning track in right field one more time, I'm going to throw myself like that girl on the big wheel down a flight of stairs, Thorne. That is just, it's sickening to watch. And I feel bad for him to an extent because you know he's dealing with the back stuff and he always will be. And if he could be a league average hitter, he'd be a valuable piece to any team in baseball with the way he picks it at third. But he's not anywhere near an average hitter at the dish.
What's going to happen is that they're going to part ways and then he's going to be an all-star. He's going to go somewhere else.
I could see that.
I mean, he's just the biggest proponent for that happening. That's exactly what's going to happen.
You say that, and then in my mind, I fight with that because he's only really hit the ball for like 3 months of his entire career. But because he's done that, some other franchise will see that, unlock it, and he will wind up being worth even more than the Pirates have paid him. But I don't think... Even if you change hitting coaches and philosophy here, which I do think there's a good chance of happening at the end of the year, I don't know that you can bank on him turning it around. You can't go into next year and just change the hitting coach and say, okay, we're going to throw him out there and we're going to throw Sawinski out there and we're just going to expect that this new hitting coach, this new philosophy is going to unlock all this untapped potential from guys. You can't do it. You got to part ways. Brian De La Cruz is under control for 3 years after this year. And so you would think that you should absolutely pencil him in to an outfield position. But you can't, right?
No. I'm going to give him a little bit of grace because he's so new. Just a tad bit of grace that I feel like he could maybe find something to start the season next year. Just a tad. But you can't. Like, he's not an absolute. Not an absolute.
IKF would be, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't really even I just care don't know where you play him.
I just don't know what position. But, like, I feel like you can get interesting by him being the high-level productive player that if you do put him as a mainstay somewhere that you could probably move and shuffle some things around that could actually work.
Yeah. He's really been what we thought he'd be, which is the opposite of what's happened with Brian De La Cruz. But he can no question about it, be your Josh Harrison of this year's team and next year's team. I think he's that good with the bat. I think he discovered something, and he talked about it right whenever he got acquired here. He changed his entire approach. I think he's discovered something that's going to stick. So, yeah, he's part of it. So, I guess we've settled on Kutch, Reynolds, Cruz, IKF, and probably Nick Gonzalez.
I would love to say Joey Bart.
Me too.
But with Endy coming back, I don't know how that situation is going to pan out.
I think he's on your roster.
He definitely is.
But it's not just Endy too. It's going to be Henry Davis. Because I think we're going to see Henry Davis before long now. I don't know how you don't pull the trigger on calling his ass up. You are 6 games under 500. You're not sniffing the playoffs. It's not going to happen. You have to look in the mirror. And 6 games back means you're on the periphery of the periphery. You're like hashtag in the hunt. You might still show up on a few of these graphics on MLB Network. But when you're this far under 500, you have to look in the mirror and understand you ain't contending for crap.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to see Henry Davis and what he can bring. We know he's not a great catcher, but his bat has played at every level in the minor leagues. Hasn't played here at all. I'd like to see him get 6 weeks here to figure it out and to see what you got in the guy. And then you can play around because you don't have a first baseman for next year because you don't bring Rowdy Tellez back. Rowdy saved his season, but he's also not even a league average first baseman. So you don't bring him back. Does Joey Bart get some time at first? Does Henry Davis get some time at first? Is Andy Rodriguez the guy that might get time at first? I'd probably have Andy be my catcher because he's good defensively. And you mix and match there. One of the things that holds you back a little bit, though, is Andrew McCutchen being your designated hitter.
That too. As we talked about yesterday.
Yeah. Because if you know, once or twice a week, Henry Davis is at first and his bat is playing, and then a couple times a week his bat's at the designated hitter spot, that would maybe make some sense, and maybe he catches every now and again. I don't know. That's assuming his bat even plays. But what I do know is Joey Bart's on my team.
Yes.
He's absolutely on my team. Ben Cherington gets crushed around here, and I think for good reason. That was a shrewd move. Which Pirates are guaranteed starting spots next year? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We'll further this conversation with you when we come back. We'd love to hear from you. Also, is this worse than 2011 and 2012? I kind of think it is. And we'll talk about that a little bit as well before we dive headfirst into football a little bit later on this hour.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Our Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Which Pirates collapse hurt the most, 2011, 2012, or 2024? This one hurts. This stinks. We always joke, can they get us to Steelers season? And they did, but this year it wasn't good enough just to get us to Steelers season. You buy at the deadline, you got Paul Skeens. You're awaiting patiently the return of your other phenom, Jared Jones, and he misses, ultimately, when it's all said and done, probably about 6 weeks, and you couldn't survive the 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about here. Tough schedule. San Diego a couple of times. The Dodgers, very good teams. The Diamondbacks, very mm-hmm. good teams. If the Pirates had merely just treaded water, if the Pirates had merely just gone about 500 to when you get to the beginning of September and you get to start playing some softer teams, that's all you needed.
How many of those were one-score games? One-score games?
Seven out of the last 11 games were one-run losses for the Pirates. Mm. So seven of the last 10 losses, one-run losses. And somebody tweets me, Doran, and says, yeah, that's the equivalent of old ladies complaining they were one number away from bingo. Pathetic. I'm not saying that it's good that they lost one-run games. I'm saying it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this all gets kind of murky to me. So we start talking about how many guys we can pencil in or, I guess, Sharpie into the lineup next year. That's not even taking into account the bullpen. And as much as I want to crush Derek Shelton at times, as much as I think we've rightfully been critical of Ben Cherington, now, some of this is on guys that should have performed, not performing. Like, who could have predicted that David Bednar's wheels would totally fall off?
Right. And that, Holderman.
Right?
Like,
can either of those guys, honestly, because we do a lot of the front office stuff, can either of those guys' struggles be put on anybody other than just those two guys? I don't think so.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
Like, David Bednar's had a chance here to lock down four games in this stretch, and he's blown them. What, three blown saves and a loss?
How many home runs did Holderman give up?
A million?
Like within like five games? Three?
I think four? It was like 4 2/3 innings and six home runs or something like that.
Something insane.
Yeah. Huh. And then you go back his previous 15 performances and the ERA is up over six and it's just a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from out of nowhere is the thing. Like he went from having all-star numbers to just totally collapsing. And David Bednar had a bad April and then was pretty good. And then his wheels just totally came off. And I don't know what you're supposed to do about that. I really don't. You can't hide your closer. You can't hide two of the three. You can't hide Holderman and Bednar. And the third obviously would be Chapman, who's been among the best relievers in baseball like the last 2 months. But what, you're just going to demote those guys, and all of a sudden it's Kyle Nicklaus? Why? They were showing no signs of failure until they started failing, and Shelton didn't demote Bednar earlier, and then he found it, so you're probably thinking the same thing was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when you just get a couple of blips from Holderman, you think, okay, he's been outstanding. Every reliever's going to have a blip or two. The next time out, he's going to be calling Holderman again, and he just never was. I can't put any of that on the manager. I can't. So you start thinking about next year, and even if you fill out this lineup around the Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, IKFs, Nick Gonzalez, and Joey Bart's of the world, and Andrew McCutchen, even if you fill that out nicely, even if you spend more money than you've ever spent, even if you do that, you're going to come in with the same principle, at least two of the three back into the bullpen guys, and you're going to hope that they bounce back, but there's no sure thing there. So it kind of feels like, as I talk this all out, Doran, that they're going to be in a position next year where you'd like to be hyped going into the season, but I don't know how anybody will be able to be hyped going into the season.
And they won't make the necessary moves. Even, like you said, even if they do make those necessary moves, I just don't believe that they will. And what could change that could actually make this? That's my question. Like, what could really change to make this look legitimate going into next year? Whenever you have so many question marks, whenever you have so many holes, whenever you have so many guys that aren't absolutes. Like, I don't know what could change. I mean, you're not going to change the GM. You're not going to change the manager, even though that it's probably warranted right now as we sit here. It's not going to happen. What, are you going to change Andy Haynes and everything's going to change? No.
I don't think that hurts, but I think that's probably what you're looking at. I think you're right, man. I think everything should be under the microscope right now. When you had expectations coming in to get better, you're now on pace not to be better than last year. In season, your owner says the goal is to make the playoffs. You're not even going to come close to that now at this point. But I still don't think that the general manager gets let go. I think he's on the hot seat going into next year, but I don't think he gets let go. And I don't think they feel like it's fair to Derek Shelton because the roster hasn't been good enough. So both guys will probably be back, and it'll be nice to move on from Andy Haynes, and I imagine that they will do so, but that's not going to solve all their problems. No. Of course it's not going to solve all their problems. It's a step in the right direction, but it doesn't fix all their problems. Hell no. The only way I could see Pirates fans getting jacked up going into next year is if the checkbook opens up. But that's a believe it when you see it kind of thing.
Yes.
Like, wouldn't it be nice if Teoscar Hernandez is your right fielder? Well, guess what? Get in line. Wouldn't it be nice if Brent Rooker is on your team? Okay, yes, that'd be great. Get in line.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be nice if Luis Robert Jr. is your center fielder? Of course, that'd be great. Get in line.
Right.
Get in line. And shell out the $20 million necessary to get that guy in here? That would get the juices flowing. That would get people excited going into next year. But again, I'm not going to believe something like that's going to happen until it happens. So you're in a position where the window was supposed to open this year. And
you had the opportunity.
You had the chance. And it's going by the wayside. So, okay, it wasn't last year, so it's got to be next year. But you've got so many questions, and you have very limited answers. And so next year, as we sit here on August 13th, I have a hard time thinking it's going to be any different than this year. Is your rotation going to be better? Similar? Maybe? The hope? Hopefully Skeens is Skeens, and Jones and Keller is Keller. And Bubba Chandler comes up and can be that next Jared Jones kind of dude. But apart from that, I think there's just question marks everywhere. Everywhere. And man, is that depressing.
Oh.
And then the other thing we've looked at is this division wasn't great. Well, Cincinnati's got reason to be optimistic. Chicago made some moves to help them out for next year that have actually worked out to help them for this year. You can make the argument that they should be more excited and they're going to spend money. St. Louis, despite the run differential, they're a playoff contender. Milwaukee ain't going anywhere. They know what they're doing. They operate with a budget, and they're good pretty much every year now lately. So next year isn't going to be easier in the NL Central.
No.
And teams like San Diego that sleptwalked through the first half of the season, like, they'll be back next year and should be good. It's depressing.
It is.
I'd like to be angry. I am, but I think I'm more depressed than anything else.
There's no clear sight. Like, there's no angle really that can make this work.
Unless you open up the checkbook. Like, that's what needs to happen. When you're close, you need to spend.
But
how close even are they really?
Right.
When they're on, they gotta go 26-18 to be 500. They're not gonna do that. Squint and try to be optimistic what they're gonna do the rest of the way, and you can't see that. Disaster. Disaster. 412-928-9370. We'll get into some training camp talk with Jeff Hathorn coming up at 7 o'clock. And 93.7 The Fan is your station for complete training camp coverage, presented by Smale Kia and brought to you by Guardian Caps and Armstrong Business Solutions. A debate on ESPN yesterday that had to do with Mike Tomlin that I'm sure had a lot of yinzers screaming at their TV. Well, let's address that when we come back. And then we'll get into Dulac's report. We'll get into the latest on Brandon Ayuk as we move forward in the show. Give us a ring on that fan hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. 412-928-9370. Got this on Twitter, Doran, from Ed Taylor, who has 106 Twitter followers. And their bio says, Steelers/NFL writer for Steel Nation magazine.
Oh, nice.
You subscribe to Steel Nation magazine?
I might after this. You tell me what he's about to say.
I don't yet, but Ed, really, this tweet could convince us to get a subscription for Steel Nation magazine. He writes, "Enough of the whining hot takes on the Pirates. Not much more than a month ago, the narrative was they aren't supposed to be good yet. Enjoy it. Now you're depressed. Enough already. Nothing has changed." That was never the narrative on this show.
No.
It was never enjoy the moment, they're supposed to be bad. It was they have Paul Skeens, they're supposed to be good.
Right.
You're supposed to contend.
Windows now.
Yes. It wasn't they're playing over their heads. It's go maximize your chance to keep this going so you can take advantage of year one of a guy you might only have for 5 years.
Plus, Ed, we were told that by the owner.
Correct.
In an interview that they were going to go for it. So that's what we're going off of.
That's a great point, Dorn. The owner who never speaks in season put his name publicly on the goal is 100% to make the playoffs.
Right.
And so when the owner says that, why would we not say, okay, that's what you say your goal is, and now you're falling woefully short, and we're supposed to just say, oh, this was going to happen the whole time. We shouldn't be depressed. We shouldn't be upset. We shouldn't crush them for this. So you're okay with them being this far under 500. Just so we get this clear and don't have to read Steel Nation whatever magazine, you're cool with what's happened. You're happy or content with, oh, they weren't supposed to be good this year, so losing 8 games in a row where 5 of them have been by 1 run and 4 of them have been with your all-star closer losing the game for you. You're okay with that. You're content with that, Ed. I want to make sure we're clear. Nobody should be okay with it.
No.
You were over 500. You took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. The next series you play well, and you're off and running in the second half, and you've got the best thing in baseball going for you in Paul Skeens. The narrative on this show, I don't know what show you're listening to, the narrative on this show was never, oh, just be happy that they're okay.
No.
We're happy to be here. It's a participation trophy. No. 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 I digress. I thought the most passionate thing you would hear on this segment would be the argument between Harry Douglas and Dan Orlovsky about Kevin Stefanski and Mike Tomlin. And maybe it will be.
Okay, Harry, Dan, Cleveland, so did the Cleveland Browns, and they got mollywopped in the playoffs. What's your point?
That's what I'm talking about when I say they went to the playoffs. You said if they get quarterback play, they're a legit contender. You don't feel that way about Cleveland when they just did it with Joe? That's what I'm saying.
I didn't say they wasn't a contender. Who do you trust more? You trust Mike Tomlin or you trust Kevin Stefanski more, Dan? Tell me who
Kevin
you trust
Stefanski's
more.
A two-time coach of the year.
So what? He hasn't won a dang old thing, Dan. Who do you trust more, Stefanski or Mike Tomlin? Answer the question.
Both. They're both great coaches.
Don't tell me about what he's a two-time coach of the year. He ain't
that
won a dog old playoff game. Or maybe he won one.
Yeah, maybe he won one.
We got mollywop. We got dag gum dropped in there. That's a good old-fashioned scream at each other sports talk debate, baby. Mm-hmm.
Two of my former teammates.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Harry and Dan.
Harry Douglas was your teammate?
Tennessee.
Do we like Harry Douglas?
A lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Dan Orlovsky's just a weird guy.
He's a dork. Yeah.
I see every day he brings chicken breast to work.
No, not seasoned.
Not seasoned. And then, like, one squirt out of a Heinz 57 bottle of ketchup, and he barely touches each
weird
piece of chicken to that. Yeah, he's a strange guy.
Strange.
I think he's a good analyst.
Yeah.
I think he does a good job breaking down the film. So those two start screaming at each other about Tom and Stefanski. If I'm Orlovsky, I remind Harry Douglas that Stefanski's only playoff win came when he was in a basement, but it was against Mike Tomlin's Steelers.
Okay, but who do you trust right now if you're a player?
Who do I trust if I'm a player?
Yeah. I mean, from the whole body of work and the resume, who I think actually, a team that I think that actually could win and actually could get there underneath somebody that is the puppeteer.
Well, I know what Brandon Ayuk thinks.
Yep.
Brandon Ayuk thinks Mike Tomlin's the guy to get it done.
I know
what
Micah Parsons thinks, too.
Mm-hmm.
If he had a chance, if he was a free agent. I know a lot of those guys think. I know that Cleveland isn't one of them.
I think Stefanski did a better job than Tomlin last year.
Last year?
4 quarterbacks, you won more games. I think he did a better job. Mm. Tomlin did get that team to the playoffs, but I think in some ways, in spite of himself, like if Mason Rudolph had been the starting quarterback, they might have contended for the division.
Don't you give Tomlin a little bit of credit of making the in-season firing?
No.
Actually pushing the button because he created that issue?
He created the issue, and I think Art told him to do it. I know what Mike says, but I.
But he still had to. He still had to put it together to win games down that stretch.
Yeah, I just think if you had Mason Rudolph as your backup quarterback instead of Trubisky, you might have been playing for the division championship in the last game of the
season.
That's all like logistics
and finances. You had to play Mitch as a backup because you're paying him that much money.
You don't have to pay him because you're paying. They benched Chukwukor for $10 million, but he's their highest paid offensive lineman. Benched his ass.
Yeah, but you benched him for a first-round pick.
I think Stefanski did a better job last year. Mike Tomlin's a better coach. That much, I don't think you can really even argue that. And Mike Tomlin's body of work, guys want to play for Tomlin more, I'm sure, than they'd want to play for Stefanski. You just mentioned a couple of guys right there. I will take Mike Tomlin's body of work, and I will project that forward, and I'll have a better idea, or I'll have a better feeling about it than Kevin Stefanski. But I do think, in my opinion, Stefanski did a better job. Some of those quarterbacks, man, were,
it was tough. Until they got, I mean, Joe Flacco, like, let's not, you know, I know that I give Stefanski a lot of credit. I think that he's a fantastic coach. I really do. But, things do get a lot easier, even if you do have a statue back there of a guy who has won Super Bowls and has played at such a high level, like, that takes a lot off the offensive coordinator. That takes a lot off the head coach to have a guy back there that I can actually still throw in Joe Flacco that's been around the game so much. Like, that helps. Even though Joe Flacco was a statue, it helps to have him back there. He knows the reads. He knows where to go with the ball. You don't have to teach that stuff to him.
But it's ridiculous to me that a Joe Flacco in his mid-30s can come in and look that much better than a Mitch Trubisky who's not that far removed from his rookie contract. You know? Like, that is crazy to me. And I think a lot of that might have to do with Stefanski and the offense that he calls, which is why I think he had a better year.
Mitch just
last
stinks.
Year. Yeah, but then you play him. You don't have to play. They watch him in practice every freaking day. They watch Rudolph every day. And for them to say, oh, well, let's go with Trubisky, I think is ridiculous. Ridiculous. But, yeah, I would rather play for Tomlin.
Yeah.
And I think 90%+ of people in the league would rather play for Tomlin.
Just close your eyes and just, okay, you have two. You have those two teams and you have those two guys. Like, who do you think is going to get you to the promised land?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's pretty easy. Even though, I swear, I'm being honest, I think that Stefanski's a very good coach.
I think he's a good coach,
too. I feel
too.
Like they nailed it finally.
He's changed my mind because I was not a huge fan of Stefanski. Here's what you know you're getting with Mike Tomlin, though. You're in it every year.
Yeah.
100% in it every year. Again, I think Stefanski did a better job than Tomlin last year. But in 2022, they went 7-10. In 2021, he went 8-9. So, you don't know every year exactly what you're getting from Stefanski.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, if you come and play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm not saying this should be something Steelers fans get excited about, but from a player standpoint, every year you know you're in it. You can't say that about Stefanski's Browns. You cannot. 412-928-9370. We have the latest on Brandon Ayuk coming up at some point here soon in the show. We've got a report from Jerry Dulac that is exciting and concerning all at one time, which we'll get to. We've got Jeff Hathorn coming up at 7 o'clock. But coming up next, someone stole $1.5 million worth of chicken wings. And how they got caught, it's going to blow your mind. We'll tell you about all that coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Jeff Hathorn going to join us in the next segment, our sports director, to get into the Steelers and some of this Buccos nonsense. But, Doran, you sent me this story yesterday. I'm just going to read for a second here. Illinois school district teacher sentenced to 9 years in prison for stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings. 68-year-old Vera Liddell pulled off the chicken wing heist from July 2020 to February 2022. Liddell would place orders for the wings with a food provider for the school district, then bill the district, but would then keep the wings. She ordered over 11,000 cases of wings. The heist took place during the pandemic when schools were closed, but some students would receive meal kits sent to their homes. The scheme was revealed when someone at the school district found the invoices, which included wings with bones, something that is typically not served to students. Did she keep all 11,000 cases?
She had to have. But how did they just figure this out now?
How is the only thing that tips them off that there's bones in the wings?
Right.
There's no, yeah, boneless wings for the kids.
I mean, we're talking a 1.5 million? Like, you can't put that to, like, you're not going to have any oversight on that. And then it's just one kid one day is like, oh, wait a second. Here's the info.
There's bone.
We don't serve the bone.
Like, don't they go through, yeah, like, there are, like, invoices and things of that nature, like, every week? Like, okay, what did we order?
I would think. Is it worth it?
No.
11,000 cases of wings for 9 years in the slammer?
No, you might as well just take the money. $1.5 million. And then do 9 years. Like, I mean, you might as well take the money. Like, what are you doing?
Someone loves wings, man.
They're eating wings every single meal, every day.
Every meal, every day. She's not going to make it to 9 years.
No.
Her cholesterol's got to be off the charts.
That is wild.
There ain't enough fish oil in the world to keep that down.
That is wild.
Oh, my God. Imagine the blue cheese cost. We're talking $1.5 million worth of chicken wings. If it would have been Donnie football, it surprises nobody.
No.
And then I saw another story. This just popped up in my Twitter feed. A 41-year-old woman had a winning lottery ticket worth over $3 million. This is on Friday. On a Friday. She shows up to work on Monday, and she defecated on her boss's desk to quit.
Yeah. I've heard stories like that. People do that every once in a while that win the lottery.
I mean, go and be a jackass.
You must really hate your boss.
Correct. Find a way to quit and make it hurt, but don't. That's illegal. Right. You got $3 million, and how much now are you gonna have to post? You gonna post bail?
Right. You're gonna get sued.
I mean, I've been in places where I don't like my boss, but if anything, you just poo in the bag and you light it on fire and you put it on the front porch.
Oh, yeah. Or just give him the big old middle finger.
Yeah.
And just walk out.
Hey, Jimmy, F you.
Right.
Am I allowed to do that on the camera?
Yeah, I think so.
I just did it twice. Hey, Jimmy, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
I just won $3 million. I'm out of here.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm taking Janet with me. I'll throw her $80K.
Right.
She doesn't work here anymore. Now you're really screwed. Oh, my God.
Ridiculous.
Put those stories together. Would make a lot of sense. Miss Vera Liddell probably can't hold her bowels after eating $1.5 million worth of chicken wings.
Oof.
Does she have a family, or is she just hammering those hens all by herself?
Mm.
All right, Jeff Athorn is going to join us for the serious stuff coming up next. Which Pirates will be here next year? We'll talk to him about that. What's he seeing at Steelers training camp? What's the latest on Brandon Ayuk? We'll talk to Jeff Athorn when we come back. And don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Now it's fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy summer drive continues at Sun Chevrolet up to 7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.